Hello, welcome back. Would it be useful for you to be able to influence the states of the people who you are involved with, the people you're trying to influence, whether that's selling or influencing or trying to get people to your point of view? Would it be useful if you could influence their states? Well, I guess the answer is certainly yes, it would be, because from a training point of view, if I can influence the state of the people who I'm talking to so that they're in a more receptive state or a more learning state, then that's going to make sure that there's more chance of the learning being embedded than if they're not, if they're distracted. And similarly, if you can help influence people into a buying state or a liking you and your business or your organization state, then I guess that would be really useful. So in this video, I'm going to talk more about covertly anchoring because, if you're trying to anchor some people who you're talking to, it's very difficult to say, okay, well, I'd like you to get into a learning state now. And so I'd like you to think about a time when you were really, really learning something in the past. So if you can just close your eyes and imagine that it's just not going to work. So we need to be more subtle about the way that we do these things. And we are influenced in this way all the time by things around us. So let me give you an example. So one of the key ways that organizations want to influence us and the way that we respond to them is through their branding, advertising and branding in particular. So we are all influenced by brands. And I've got some examples here that I'll explain the effect they have on me and maybe, think about the effect they have on you while we talk about it. So for instance, this one I'm sure you're all very familiar with. I don't drink Coke. I don't drink Coca-Cola. I kind of find whenever I see that sign, I just feel really kind of negative about it with the whole holidays are coming, TV adverts, and the usurping of Father Christmas by the Coca-Cola brand and so on. So it's quite a negative one for me. This one was a very positive one. I've always aspired to a BMW. And when I saw this, I always kind of thought, felt like a feeling of quality and aspiration. Since I bought one and the cam chain snapped at 70 miles an hour on the A30 and it cost me £5,000, I don't have such a strong feeling about BMW anymore. And all I see all I feel when I see that is anxiety. The Starbucks coffee, I hate Starbucks. I hate their cafes. I hate the fact that they don't really cater for people who don't drink coffee at all. I know it says Starbucks coffee, but for me, it's a real negative, negative state and a negative anchor. Jaguar, for me, I get a feeling of kind of richness and sort of warmth and comfort because a friend of mine's dad, when I was about 7 or 8 years old, he was a farmer. He bought a Jag, and I can still smell the leather and the walnut and all of the kind of oils and stuff in that car. So that's got a feeling of kind of warmth and comfort for me and opulence, I suppose. This one, I hate McDonald's food. It really doesn't do anything for me at all. And the whole kind of anywhere you are in the world, it's all going to taste the same. That kind of vanilla sort of similarity, I don't like at all. So I've got a very negative anchor for the McDonald's logo. AA, for me, this is a real feeling of relief because of the number of times that I've been saved from the roadside by the AA. And so when I see that, I just get a feeling of relief. This is quite an old logo for the Apple Corporation, but for me, I just get a feeling of confidence. It'll work, it'll do what it's supposed to do all the time. I've got Apple products. I love my iPad and my iPhone. I haven't bought an Apple laptop because of the price, but I've tried to recreate the same kind of performance in a non-Apple product. So it doesn't quite feel the same. But for me, Apple just gives me that sense of confidence that things are going to work. And of course, it's not just all about consumer goods, that there are other anchors as well, other brands. So the Superman brand, particularly with Christopher Reeve, because that was when that was released back in the 70s. It was one of the first kind of real excellent special effects films. And I think the tagline was, "You'll believe a man can fly." And so for me, I've got a feeling of just that being young and being in the cinema and watching something that was real kind of eye-opening and exciting. The CND logo for me has a real kind of feeling of optimism, of excitement, at the same time of anger. It was very big for me when I was growing up in the 80s, so it was a real key part of my life, and the fear of nuclear destruction and the CND optimism and hope. So it's quite a mix of feelings when I see that. And this logo for me is also an interesting one. When I first started using this logo, it was before the London Olympics, and so it didn't really have any impact on me other than a kind of not quite anger, but irritation at the amount of money that was spent on creating this logo. Since the Olympics happened and that amazing opening ceremony, and I went to the Olympics and watched the men's hockey finals on my 50th birthday in the sun and had a brilliant experience, that logo now just elicits a state of real excitement, happiness, relaxed enjoyment, just a really nice feeling. And the point about these is that different people will respond differently to those logos. And that's the important thing to recognize, because it's all about your experience. And what we're trying to do when we brand our organization is create an experience that people is, that's then anchored by the brand. And it's not just visual. It can go through smell and taste, for instance. The smell of a Subway shop just really makes me want to heave. I've never been in a Subway shop just purely because of that smell. And I think the first time I smelled it, I wasn't feeling particularly well. I probably had a really good night out the night before. It can be music, so jingles. I don't know whether you remember the Link logo, the Link jingle, but I do remember walking down the high street in Truro, seeing the sign and hearing the jingle in my head and going into the store and buying a phone. And I know about this stuff. You know, this covert anchoring of other people really works. And, you know, you may find that you're being anchored as you go through this this course. You'll notice that I'm wearing the same shirt in every video. I look pretty much the same. I'm pretty well always sat in front of the same background. So I'm trying to recreate the experience. So if you've seen this in an earlier video and you've got some learning from it, when you start to watch the next video and everything's the same, it helps to recreate that state that you were in from the last video. So again, with the logo and everything else, that I'm trying to help recreate that learning state that hopefully you were in the first point. And that's the important thing to remember, because just by putting a really nice logo up, there's no guarantee that people are going to like what it is that you're selling or are actually going to buy it. So to create an anchor based on our brand or based on anything else that we want to recreate a particular state, so whether it is around, you know, the shirt I'm wearing or the background or whatever, what we have to do is go back to this model where we were talking about state and how what actually happens is the emotion will peak over time. And so you'll create a state, the state will intensify, and then it will decrease again. And if what we can do is we can impact and create an external stimulus at that moment, then there's a good chance that they're going to become connected. And so there'll always be that experience on the back of it. So if we want our branding to elicit a particular response from people, what we need to do is create the experience first. And that's the really important bit. We need to give people a good experience. We need to give people the time, put them into that state, create the state that we want to be able to anchor in the future. And then hopefully at that point when they're having a really good time, then you can flash the logo. You can help draw attention to something that's going to be repeated in the future. So that when you do repeat that, they do see the logo or they see the shirt or whatever it may be that you're trying to connect with the state, that will elicit the state in the future. And remember that those things need to be, those anchors need to be visual, auditory, kinesthetic, olfactory, gustatory, smell, taste, or spatial. And I mentioned that in an earlier video. So space is very important in terms of anchoring. We're very anchored to space. we're very connected with space, so in terms of the way that we feel in a particular situation. And if you want to test that out, just go and sit somewhere else in the room from where you normally sit and just notice how that feels. So spatial anchoring can be really important. If you've had a bad experience in a particular meeting room, for instance, you'll be able to replicate that feeling every time you go into that meeting room. I worked with a client who owns a bar, and he was trying to implement appraisal process into his team. And he was having a lot of difficulty with getting people to buy into this process. And he was on the course, we were talking about spatial anchoring, and it was a real aha moment for him. And he said, I've just realized that there's a certain place in the bar, it's in the VIP area in the bar, and there's a certain table that we sit at every time I've got to go and criticize somebody or try and improve their performance or give them some negative feedback or whatever it may be that's really negative that's based around their performance. And he said, and guess where I'm holding the appraisal? It's at the same table. So people are walking into their appraisal, being anxious, feeling that they're going to get into trouble when actually they're not. It's just about appraisal. So all he did was move to a different table in a different room and everything was fine. It can be as simple as that. So think about the way that you are spatially anchored. Are there certain meeting rooms that when you walk into, you feel uncomfortable? And it can be that if you've had a bad experience in that room, if you want to have a good experience in that room and anchor it in a positive way, what you need to do is change the room around. So, you know, go and sit at the other end of the table, for instance, because you may well notice from now on that people like to sit in the same place. You know, when I'm running courses in a room, people will always come back the second and third or fourth day and sit in the same places, because they feel comfortable there, because they're anchored to that space. And if they had a good experience last time, they want to recreate it by sitting in the same place. It's why we have our favorite chairs in the room, or people have their favorite bar stools in a pub, or whatever it may be, that's we're anchored to space in that sense. One delegate on a practitioner course was a teacher, and she taught infants, so like reception class, so their first year in school. And she always found it difficult getting them to quieten down for story time as they had in those days. Because in those days, it wasn't that long ago. So what she started to do was the next day she went in to do story time, she stood on a particular carpet square, a carpet tile square in the room, and kind of called all the kids to them. And they were all, I don't know, they were off doing wet play or sand or doing something. And they all came down and eventually came and sat quietly, and she was reading the story. The following day, story time, she just went and stood on the carpet tile, and all the kids just quietly stopped what they were doing and came and sat down. So then she created a reading square or a reception square or lots of different squares around the room. The rest of the staff started calling her a witch because she was just able to control these kids just by where she stood in the room. And of course, it's really important if you're going to do that, not to mix things up and go and stand in a different square when it's reading time or whatever, because that confuses people. It breaks that state that they were in. It's a useful technique to have if you're training or you're doing a presentation in a room with different people, because you can mark the room out so that if you're standing in a certain place, this is about discussion time, or another place, it's about giving information time. So that's spatial anchoring. So the way that we covertly anchor other people is by creating the state first and then anchoring that to an external stimulus, which may be a logo or a jingle or an item of clothing or a space in a room or a space in a building. So it is possible to influence other people's states. And in fact, we do. We influence other people's states by our own body language all the time. And the point about this is learning how to consciously create that particular state. Because from a training point of view, it's really useful to be able to get people back into a learning state very quickly in a room, ready for them to move on through the rest of the session. So I look forward to seeing you in the next session, where we're going to talk about big changes in terms of present state and desired state and moving from one to the other.